Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
You know, several years ago, Pastor Rice gave me an assignment to figure out why Bethel was swelling by thousands, then shrinking, swelling and shrinking, swelling and shrinking. And so when I was just an associate here, I hired consultants for them, and I figured out they came, and four different consultants told me the same four problems. And I because I didn't believe their reports, made me stand out there and watch it. They would tell me I had a parking problem, but because I don't go in the parking lot. I mean, I'm here before y'all. And they showed me cars driving away. And then they showed me people walking up to the door and walking away. Then they, but I actually chased some people down. Like, where y'all going? Come on back here. No, we didn't pray for y'all to be in here. Don't be leaving. Okay. Then they would show me people come in the sanctuary, look around, and say, I don't see a spot, and leave. And I don't know if you've ever been in this lobby. Some of y'all wanna go out this door, but this, first, that's not a lobby. That's a walkway. And that, when everybody's in there, is, you know, you just hoping nobody bump you wrong if you from where I'm. Don't. I know we in church. Don't keep your distance, you know. It's tight in here. Watch it. Space invaders. People that don't have a distance. Get this Advocare product and spray your mouth. What's that name? Get that. There's a lot of people in here can sell it to you. I'm sorry. I should say that out loud when you're trying to get people to give to the program. Y'all give. Don't get offended because you need to get that. Sorry. Those watching by live stream, I apologize. The thing is, I actually was okay with that, but I wasn't rushing to fix it. And he said, you don't see urgency on you. So let me help you understand who those people are that are driving away, walking away, coming in and leaving. He said, there are lost people. He said, believers stay. Lost people leave. And I said, no. He said, yes. And by the hundreds, the lost have left. Now, you might be saying, well, just add another service. Well, this is statistically, throughout America, the most popular time a day to go to church. That's why when we ask y'all to go to a different service, y'all refuse. Because the 8 o'clock got some room. Y'all won't go. Some say, I don't get up there. It's my only day to sleep in. See? They won't give up a chair for a sinner. No, I'm just... Don't feel bad. Just give in the campaign. So, to help me understand that, and it's the most popular time. But we as a church have the capacity to do something about it. Now, what we produced over the years of this ministry is multiple millions. 10, 15, more. I'm scared to tell you how much we have sent out of this church to see churches planted, countries reached, people supported. That's what we do. That's who we are. It's quantifiable. You can enumerate it. Every dollar translated to a person. We are not a self-centered ministry. It's not about building monuments to ourselves. It's about the efficiency of doing our very best for God. And this is what is before us. And so sitting right there where JT is, I get the revelation that it's harvest time. God tells me to turn to John, and I look, and Jesus is standing at a well with a Samaritan, not a Samaritan woman, just a woman. And she got sin in her life. How do we know? Because Jesus told her, you've got sin. And he told her, I want to give you something that will change you forever, living water. she leaves. And she says to people a message. Go, come see a man. Told me everything about me. Come see him. Come see him. Jesus, though he was hungry, ceased to be hungry and started to be focused on what his mission was. People. And the Bible says he waited until he saw the woman coming back with the whole city. The whole city. As our mission is to reach the city, to touch the world. God said, you can't just have that knowledge, James, and do nothing. You can't have the knowledge that I'm growing you and then not embrace it. Our church has not ceased to grow by 20% every year. Since I become the senior pastor, over 1,000 people have come join this church. It's been a short period of time. God has made good on his promise. And if we just take 50 more people and put in this room, instead of take 100 more people and put in this room, we average 100 to 150 new visitors each Sunday. And if we all do our work, now our builders here, wave your hand, Tim. Stand up so they can see you. Thank you. Tim, come up and bring that mic with you. And we praise God. This might be your message today, so don't get weirded out by that. This is all about Jesus. You need to know what's going on. Okay? But this is a man of God. And Tim, you have been a part of this project from the very beginning. And what made you personally get involved with us? Tell us what should we see in terms of people growth, and then walk with me and show me the plans we're going to build.
Well, Bethel family, I just want to say good morning to you, and it's an honor to be a part of such an excellent ministry. And we've, you know, with hundreds of churches that we've worked with, the ministries we've worked with, I would say that this is definitely in the top 1% of the ministries we've been a part of.
And how many churches have you all built over the years?
Over 1,000 churches. And I would say, easily, you just come worship with you one time. And if you don't get excited worshiping at Bethel, you're just wet wood. I mean, I was worshiping this morning, and I just said, Pat, I can't wait for Dedication Sunday when we get to worship. Yeah. And the new facility is going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. But what I see is I see most churches that build the right building in the right way grow 30% within the first year of being in that new facility. And with the growth that you've seen and with what I've experienced God moving in this church, I see it being much greater than that here at Bethel. I've seen churches that we've worked with that are much like this ministry grow and double in the process of building. And I see things like that happening for sure. I see that happening here at Bethel in the coming year.
Praise God. Thank you for knowing that Tim has been in this business for a long time. And Tim, finally, it's been a long process of designing the building, first of all, that was going to cost us $30 million to $28 million, down to $17, $12. Then we did the campaign. We only raised $6 million, and I was a little sad for a minute, but then Tim called me and said, don't be sad. I'll show you a building that you could build for $6 million. We went and saw the building. It was bigger than the one I was going to build for $12 million, and then I was like, yay, and then it was great, and then we started all the stuff, and then we get ready to start, and I get the call from Tim and say, hey, the price of steel went up 30-40%. Your site work's going to be more. So because it's the hardest rock on the planet to get out. And then the price went up another $2 million, and I thought it was all over. But through the grace of God, because you guys have been given, we've got over 25% of our pledges in. We've reduced some debt. We've got some contributions. And what we do today, we're going to be able to build our sanctuary portion. And based on today, we have an opportunity to build much more of it. So, Tim, show us really quickly. Put the picture of the building up real fast. The other one with the drive under. That's the old building with the slanted roof right there. On the left. I don't have my laser pointer. I'm sorry. Thank you. No, but that's just the Gentiles in the back working the English. That's the old building right there. And all of this is new. Put the new facility up, what it's going to look like. Okay. Now, this part is the whole connector and everything, and this is the new sanctuary. Next part. This is coming up the old Hickory Boulevard, so you can see it. You got that nice shot? Yeah. Ooh. Holla. Glory. Mm-hmm. Look at that. They're not going to forget who we are. Diversity, South Shift. We've got we got those hands from our South African church, our sister church. When apartheid fell, those are two South African hands of reconciliation. Winston, stand up. Here, I got Winston here. He's from that South Africa. This is one of the products of this. Look at it. See that dot on him? This is one of the products of our ministry. Right here. Just shot him right there. Bam. Stand up, Winston. Stand up, Winston. This is, put that camera on Winston so the upper venue can see. Now look, this man right here is a man of God. Was doing ministry and pastoring people in his 20s. He's one of the most articulate brothers. You're going to see him on TBN with Pastor Rice on Tuesday, to air on Friday. That man and his wife, they if he get the mic and you hear that little accent, you're going to go in again. Thank you, Winston. But Pastor Rice started our ministry out of here, and that guy got reached from it. That's what you do. Next slide. See them, go back. See them flags? I'm going to reach every nation I can with you. We're going to do that. Amen. That's not a little cute statement. That's what we do. Next. Spiritual Family Foundations. If you haven't gone, go. If you haven't gone to Spiritual Foundations Family class today, I'm telling you, go. We build a building for you. Let's go. Show me the floor plan. I didn't really want all these pictures. But it was cute. That's the nurse and mother's room, by the way. See that little window? It's a nurse and mother's. Stop talking. Stop. Just stop calling me. It's tight in there. What are we going to do? We building the building. We trying all we can. So look, this is the new sanctuary. See them Baptist trees right there? Now, Tim, God bless him, the first baptistry we had was about $370,000. This baptistry is about $5,000. That's the economical version. That's what I'm talking about. On both sides. Floor is going to be flat so we can use it multi-purpose. Women, again, emails I don't have to have anymore. You have more bathrooms than everybody. Because y'all have to tell me. Well, we got to wait in line. Wait, go to the bathroom. Because go to church. See, you have that. Don't mess with me. Then nursing mamas, y'all got y'all own bathroom. Okay, so you don't have to nurse in the other room. Mm-hmm. First aid. Now, this is important. We paid for this. Okay? This little connector that connects the old building to the new building and gives us the facelift. Show the building again. This front part, man, you don't really have the actual shot. The whole thing. See, this to here is the face part. We're close to having that funded, but what we do today matters. Back to the floor plan. I'm almost done. Back to the floor plan. The smaller one. Okay, this fellowship hall, future cafe, and future playland. Tim, tell them how important it is that we do the right thing now, because you keep telling me in emails and phone calls that you're going to go up on my price. And I don't want you to go up on my price. Why are you doing that to me, Tim? Tell the people why. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do you like that, Tim, but that's how it is. We in business with you.
Because I want to be able to put in the fellowship hall now when I can get the pricing right, and it's easy to install it while I'm on site doing all the work right now. If I have to come back later and put in that concrete and steel when we already have those other buildings in place, I'm then at a later price break when prices may continue to go up. Nobody can predict the future. And it will be much more difficult to put in that steel and that concrete, as you can imagine, after all those buildings are in place and that's all closed in. So it would save this church literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that now than to do that in the future.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Now, If you're a guest or a visitor here as we're taking care of business, I want you to know this is the second year anniversary of Bethel Build. We started this years ago, okay? But on November 3rd was the official day that everything is, the construction road is already in. Every day they're putting the swell in first, the water, to retain the water off the land. Then they'll fix the lower part of the parking, so we're going to lose that. Then we'll get the upper part done. The lower part, we'll park there, and then we'll get the upper part done. That's going to take 3 to 5 months for all of the site work, new parking, and maybe the foundation to get laid. At the same time, they'll start working on blasting out the hill and everything. So pretty much every Sunday, you'll start seeing things. And you could be inconvenienced. And Tim, just say on that mic when I tell you, he said that this is when churches typically get frustrated that are not spiritual as you. They come in and, I don't understand this. Why we you know, is that true? They get frustrated?
Amen.
Okay. We'll probably be angry with him at some point. I'd rather it be him than me, by the way. But I just want you to know that those things are coming. Now, 12 months after the site work, which is 3 to 5 months, it'll take us to erect our building, okay? So you know, how are we financing it? 25% of the money's come in, like I told you. So now the bank fronts us the money, and then over the next 3 years, we pay it down with our pledges. Again, at our church, if you're a guest or a visitor or anybody, you know we provide you with the number to our CPAs, accountants, and independent auditors, so you can call anybody anytime. You never have to ask me about money, but we are excellent in that. For the last 10 years, I believe we've had unqualified audits. It means it's good. There's nothing bad in there. So we want you to know that. When it comes to what's next, I want you guys to do something for me. I want you to reach down. And there's a packet, and I want you to pass it down, one per family, one per family, one per family, one per family. Okay. Now, the first thing, once you get your packet, is I want you to go in and only get one thing. It's going to be difficult for you, but just get the bracelet out. The ladies have found it already. Men, I'm not responsible for the color blue. It's Titan blue, but they're not winning. A little tight, you just, you know, get on. First thing I want you to do is put that bracelet on. That bracelet says embracing the harvest. This is the word God gave us. Embracing the harvest. Okay? Now, hold it up. Let me see you got it on. Let me see you got it on. So that means you're embracing the harvest. Look at that, isn't that cute? Now, pull out that big sheet of paper. Look at that. And this is just creative ways to give. After the last service, people came up to me asking me about converting stocks and taxes and everything like that. We can show you what to do if you're giving by those means, okay? It just tells you that you can get people have given jewelry. I've given jewelry, just a whole bunch of stuff over the years. Now, you have to understand, the reason that doing this Sunday is important, I have to do it on Sunday, is because we've had massive amount of individual meetings, massive amounts of small meetings with 20, with 30, with 100, and still with 1,000 more new people in the church. There's no other way to do this and help you know what's going on. People, this is the second Sunday of the month. We always talk about Bethel Bill. Okay, now I want you to go in there and pull out this little card that says Top 10 Facts. Everything I said plus is on this card. So if you have a question about financing, the campaign, or construction, it's on that card. Now, finally, my favorite part, the most important part of all, is to pull out the card that looks like this. It says Bethel Bill's got the picture, the real picture of the building on it. Okay? Now, all I want you to do is flip it over to the back, and I want you to grab the pen I've provided for you in the bag. There's a pen in the bag. I provided it. Don't have to search for one. It's one per family. And here's what you're going to do. Flip it over the back. It's just a prayer request. The first thing you do right now is everybody take that pen and write your name. remember, don't worry. There's no tricks here. This is just a prayer request part. There will be a pledge part if God leads you to do that. But right now, we're just in what we try to do. We want you to write your top three things you're believing God for in 2015. Write it there. Debbie and I usually try to get away or in town, and we try to pray and agree with God and this team for all the members of this church to achieve their goals that they have with God. Okay? So we want to know what they are. Some of you want to go to school. Some of you are starting a business. Some of you are doing different things. So we just want you to do that. Okay? Then, after you put your name, your number, your email address, your top three prayer requests, I want you then to open that card up. Okay? As you open that card up, you will see four words at the top twice. I can, I can, I can, I can, I can, I can. So it looks like. And we're going to go through these check marks together. Again, there's something for everybody to check. So no worries. This is no pressure. This is just introspection between you and the Lord. One, you can pray for Bethel Building, how you will participate from now through 2015. Maybe all you could do right now is be praying with us. That's fine. I believe in prayer. So you check prayer, okay? Now, many of you 2 years ago made three-year pledges. And so what you're going to say is, I am going to finish strong on my original Bethel Build pledge. You're just going to check that. If you need to make an adjustment on your pledge, up or down, that's fine. That's life. All we want you to do is indicate it when we get lower. Some of you have finished already, and you need to increase, or you desire to increase your Bethel. People have been talking to me about God is blessing them, and they want to increase. That's fine. We praise God for that. 1,000 or more of you are new to Bethel. You've never received an opportunity to begin sowing. Or some of you have been here, have been thinking about it. So you just start sowing into Bethel Build with a first-time pledge. Now, those of you who have already pledged, write your original pledge down there. Then the amount you've given so far. Most of us don't know that number because if you give monthly, you forget. But that's okay. It helps us send you the reminder letters. The next line says, I would like to increase my pledge by. And the next line says, I am a new Bethel partner. My pledge is this. Now, when you get to that line, all you need to do is think two things. God says, to whom much is given, much is required. Give based on how God has blessed you, or give based on a revelation of what God is saying to you. That's it. Give based on a revelation of what God is saying to you. Now, and you just write that down there. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. The widow gave two mites, which is all she had, and the Bible says she gave more than them all. So it doesn't matter to me if you put $2 down here or $2 million. We've had pledges of both. But I'll tell you this. I would like us in unity to all just do something. So it does not matter the amount. It just matters that you hear God or that you give according to your means. We're just doing it all in unity. Okay? The reason it's not as a debt you owe but a seed you sow, because we're not the debt collector. You're not going to write something down with us in faith, and we're going to hound you. Therefore, what I'm saying at this church, the way we do it is, we do everything by faith together, but if something changes in your life, and you know what, this is not appropriate for my family anymore, and you just call and you adjust it, and no one has ever complained that we said, well, what'd you do? Hold on. Well, let us work with you. Well, why'd you say in the first place? We don't do nothing like that. Just put it down under the anointing in faith. You're not likely to go home and remember all the moments and everything while God is speaking. If you need to adjust something, adjust it later. You can call in. Then on the right side, write if you want to give that pledge one time, weekly, semi-monthly, monthly, quarterly, annually. Most people give monthly. And then people at the end of the year and quarterly, they give their large gifts. Or you can check, I want to give a non-cash gift. And then we will follow up with you on how to give your stocks. A lot of people get their stocks at the end of the year. Or people that don't know how to do their tax situation, it's sometimes more beneficial for you to give your to give something to the church than to pay capital gains. We don't teach you, but we have people that'll show you what to do in that regard. Then I want you to take this and rip it off, your prayer request and your card. Duplicate your information on the other side for your record. Go in the bag, pull out your envelope. Pull out your envelope. Go ahead, go in the bag, pull out your envelope. Tuck it inside. Seal it up. It's a little nasty. Sorry. You don't want to do that. Don't seal it up. Okay. Then the ushers are going to come, and we're going to play some slides while they're coming. They're going to collect the cards by passing you a bucket. You just put it down in the bucket. Okay? Everybody look at me for a moment before I pray, while you're still doing this thing, but look at me. Jesus asked Peter a question, who do men say I am? He said, some say Elijah, some say a prophet, some say that you are John the Baptist. That should be flattering. But Jesus asked him the question, who do you say that I am? Who do you say? He said, well, for me, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, which means he's the supreme Lord of our life. That means when we approach this moment, it's not about what we want, it's about what he wants to do through us. But that wasn't enough. He then said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. It's a privilege to know who Jesus is. Then he began to tell Peter he was going to die on the cross for the church. He said, on this revelation of who I am, Peter, that I'm the Christ, I'm going to build my church. The first time church is said, and then he says, I'm going to go to a cross and die for it. And Peter said, don't do that. And he rebukes Peter and said, if I don't do that, you're not thinking right. You can't live. When you are going to do something for God, you have to give a sacrifice. God's revelation that he was going to build his church, the first time he said his church, he gave a sacrifice, and it was his life. He goes on to tell Peter, now you take up your cross and follow me. It's not pleasant all the time what God asks us. It's not pleasant for me. But when I told God he can have everything I own, it was right. When I think about their little daughter, Pastor Fikri's daughter, who's been in several countries and cities, and she's been a child of a church planter, came here and God healed her and blessed her. She had some hip problems. And guess what? She just wanted the children's ministry to pray for her. They prayed for her, and God touched her body. Or Dana Wise, who took our financial piece, and she found out that she was giving very little to God, almost nothing to God, and it radically changed her, transformed her. She started giving to God, and now she feels a life in ministry. Or Matthew, who you saw, who took a step of faith, and God started blessing him in his own personal business. Or Drew, or Max and his wife, who got touched by men's ministry, women's ministry. And this is why we build. This is what we do. It's about people. Now, if you felt pressure, it's nothing but the devil. If you felt awkward, it's nothing but the devil. This is the house of God, and there's $100 million spent on educational institutions and healthcare, just ridiculous amounts of money. But you know what? The health of Americans, out of the 17 top affluent nations, we're ranked last. Education, we're 50% dissatisfied. And we're ranking lower in the world scale. So all the investment in those things that are necessary is not producing something right. If we don't invest in the kingdom of God, however, how does that message get out? This is how. So I want them to sing as we just give, and I'm going to release you to go. I want you to know this. Ushers, you can come on. That if Jesus is not at the center, then I won't do it. If anything doesn't glorify God, then it's not worth it to us. And I think we're going to end with a worship of Jesus in that song. Robert, just say that line for me real quick.
Jesus, Jesus at the center of it all.
Only place he can be.
Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been.
When you pass it, stand up. When you pass it. Salvation, direction, healing in your body. We're here to pray for you and love on you. Pick up more ministers. Come down, please. We want to know to pray for you. Now, I'm going up with the builder and the team to the choir room. If you don't know what I said, if you have any questions, finance, construction, campaign, any questions whatsoever, you can come ask me eyeball to eyeball. Rather not you walk out with something unanswered, and we're making ourselves available to be seen eye to eye for your statements, for your comments, for how we can do things better or differently. I know it's a tough thing when we have to take an administrative moment in church. But if you don't give, remember this, we don't go, we don't do anything. There's no secret pot of money. There is none. Okay? So if we stop giving, the building won't be built. It'll be less and less staff, and we'll be less and less effective. But when we die and go see Jesus, we'll care about these things. So any questions, we want to see you. So Lord, bless the people as they leave this place, but not your presence. Keep us all in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. God bless you. You are dismissed. Any questions, you can come see me.